if you would. As you're turning there, Diane Lekowitz had surgery. She had a knee replacement this week. Cindy's brother Davey's doing better. Debbie Taylor's husband has been diagnosed with kidney cancer. Edie had an infusion. Pray for their son, Gabe. Pray for a friend of mine, Chris, who had back surgery. He's recovering. A friend of mine, Ron, who's dealing with a medical issue with the Barletta family, the Vitelli family, and our president, our elected officials, our governors, our mayors, county executives, so forth. Hebrews chapter 12, I like to begin our service with one verse. This is not the verse I'm going to preach on, but it certainly is a summary of what I will speak on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. The first sentence says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Let's pray. Lord, there are so many things to pray for, so many things that we could focus in on and drill down on. We pray for our church family, the people that we know, our personal networks, our family, church family network, for those that are sick or ill, infirmed, for those that are having difficulty with financial career issues, Lord, for many that we know that are dealing with the emotional and psychological impact of COVID, the election, just a myriad and multitude of things. We continue to pray as we gather on a Sunday evening that your coming is soon. We could and should sing of that more often. We should and could preach on that more often because we need to prepare for where we're going. So we ask and pray that this evening we might spend a few moments talking about the word accepted and the word rejected. Guide us, speak to us, give us an obedient heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 44. This morning we spent at least half the message introducing Jeremiah, introducing the time frame and the history. Dan, could you and Stephen pass out these outlines for me? Talking about the history of the nation of Israel at this particular point. So I'm not going to revisit and go over all of that. Jeremiah was preaching to the nation of Judah. They had been captivated and captured and sent into exile. Three different waves of the Jewish people in the southern tribes had been captured and taken away. We clearly talked about this morning how they had taken the best of the best first. They had taken the B team second. They had taken the C team third. And they had left the deplorables for last. And that's who we're basically dealing with as Jeremiah is finishing his ministry. He spoke and prophesied and preached for 40 years. And as we'll see, you might not be able to see, but this is his last message. This is like Stephen the deacon in Acts chapter number 7, this is the last time Jeremiah speaks to the nation. There's no more mention of him, even though he did write the book of Lamentations. That took place chronologically before this. So, to save some time, I'm going to preach through this as we go through this. Instead of reading 30 chapters and then going back, 30 verses, I'm sorry. let's begin in verses 1 through 14. The word to God's people in Egypt. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews, which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and at Tophanes and at Noph in the country of Pathros, saying. So these would be major cities, Memphis and some of the other major cities in Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. Let me pause, because this morning we talked about how the nation of Judah, was asking Jeremiah for God's will regarding the remnant. They, in their mind, had already decided they were going to Egypt. So that's where this message is being delivered. Jeremiah chose to go with them. As we saw this morning, the captain of the Babylonian army gave Jeremiah an option. Would you rather go with me to Babylon, and essentially you can eat at my table? Or you can go with the remnant of Israel, with Judah, and be with them. Jeremiah decided to be with his people in Egypt instead of going to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness to burn no incense unto the gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. And they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore, now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel. Wherefore, commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoke me unto wrath with the work of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled, even unto this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes, that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. The word to God's people in Egypt. So let me look at three different things here. God speaks to his people regarding their past sins. God speaks to Israel, to Judah, his people, regarding their past sins. Verses 1 through 6. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and at Tarphanes and at Naph in the country of Pathros, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil which I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. As I said in Jeremiah 42, they decided that they would relocate to Egypt despite God's warnings. The Lord of hosts is mentioned, who would be the God of powerful angelic armies. The God of Israel is mentioned, the title of the covenant God, who has not changed. Judgment from God will be upon Israel. Their idolatry has persisted, verse 3, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, and they, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. They refused to listen to God's prophets, verse 4. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. They refused to listen to God's prophets, to God's word. Verse 6. Wherefore, my fury and mine anger was poured forth. Have I read verse 5 yet? But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. And they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Their idolatry persisted. God judged them in Israel. God judged them in Judah for their idolatry. And they relocated themselves to the capital of the world, Egypt. And their idolatry continues, even now in Egypt. Their refusal to be corrected, however, was perhaps more fatal than their idolatry. Therefore, they are wasted and desolate because of God's judgment. God's word to God's people in Egypt. Let's look at verses 7 through 10. God speaks to his people regarding their, instead of their past sins, now God's going to deal with them regarding their present sins. Verses 7 through 10. Therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. In that ye provoke me unto wrath with the words of your hand, with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives? I want to pause here for a minute. It's rare in Scripture that you see something like this written. I mean, yes, we've heard about Jezebel. She was one of the wives of the kings, yes? But you don't see many passages of Scripture like this, where God is pouring out his judgment, not only upon the knuckleheads, but the Mrs. Knuckleheads as well. And your own wickedness. And the wickedness of your wives. So not only were the princes and the kings guilty, Their wives were guilty, presently and historically, but certainly now presently. Jeremiah is focusing on the common people as well, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Have ye forgotten? God doesn't forget. They are not humbled. Even unto this day. In other words, how much does God have to do to get your attention? Neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I have set before you and before your fathers. God's people would be so foolish, and they would also reject his word. God's people would rebel against his commandments. There's a sense of wonder in these passages of scripture regarding the self-destructive nature of their sin. They not only sinned against God, but they also sinned against themselves. It was bad enough that Babylon had removed God's people in three different waves of capture and exile. But God's people had voluntarily removed themselves from the land of Judah to go to Egypt. Now again, we need to pause and we need to remember in the Old Testament that geography sometimes meant God's will, God's presence. The New Testament, not necessarily so much. But I do have to be a living testimony to you now. Geographically, I am in God's will because of where I am. I wasn't always here. You might not have always been here either. You might have been a prospect. You might have been in the southern tier. You might have been in various other locations, the North Country, where you had voluntarily submitted to the local church, the assembly of God's people, and that place was where you were being obedient and serving the Lord and fulfilling God's plan for your life at that time. The where is important, right, Todd? So as you go through seminary, or you go through John, you go through Bible college, there are people that are training and preparing for the ministry. And sometimes where becomes the most important thought that they have instead of who. He can always place you where you need to be, but it's more important for you to become what God wants you to become before you go anywhere. Here, they were out of God's will because of where they were. We saw this morning, we spent the entire service talking about they were fakes. They were hypocrites. They pretended to be pious. They pretended to care about God's will for their life. And yet they had a predetermined plan. We're going to Egypt regardless. And some of God's people do the same today. They decide, this is God's will for my life. I'll ask God later. That's not what's happening here. Those who went to Egypt quickly began to worship the gods of Egypt. The same spirit of idolatry followed them into Egypt. The same spirit, the same heart of idolatry followed them into Egypt. Let me pause and look back at our theme for this year. This was to be a year of materialism. This was to be a year of idolatry. This was to be a year of money. And COVID turned everything upside down, but yet COVID probably did something to many of us that might not have happened had it not been for COVID. Toilet paper. We kind of took it for granted until COVID. Try to go out and get disinfectant today. It's still hard to find certain things in the store. In America, could you imagine what it must be like in India? Or some of the Eastern Bloc countries that are, I'm just saying, things have changed. This spirit of idolatry is not just worshiping totem poles. Right? It could all be about stuff. This chapter reveals one of the reasons God commanded them not to go to Egypt, but to trust his protection and his provision in Judah. God promised that he would bless and restore the exiles that went to Babylon. We talked about that this morning. How is it that God would promise to bless the captives in a pagan land for 70 years? If you obey, if you submit, if you honor them, I will bless you. And yet the less spiritual said, I'll do it my way. He promises only judgment to those who went by choice to Egypt, because he had forbidden them to go. They had forgotten the wickedness of their fathers, the wickedness of their kings, the wickedness of their wives, especially their own wickedness. The remnant showed that they were neither repentant nor humbled. Verses 11 through 14. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. We see these titles over and over again in this chapter. Behold, I will set my face against you. God is going to set his face against you, remnant, for evil, to cut off all Judah. Now, as far as I can tell, that almost sounds like extinction, like extermination. I'm going to get rid of you all. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there. And they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. Pastor, what is a revelant? How is this relevant to me today? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. See, these are all principles that are applicable to New Testament believers. You want to go live in the world? You want to go remove yourself from God's people and be captive in Egypt? And I will take the remnant of Judah and have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there. And they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. Of course, there are a multitude of spiritual applications here. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine. And they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt, to sojourn there, they've chosen to go there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such I shall escape. So God speaks to his people regarding those who went to Egypt. God speaks to his people regarding those who went to Egypt. God again introduces himself as the Lord of hosts and the God of Israel. Titles of authority, power, and ownership. God again promised that he would be against those who chose to exile themselves to Egypt. God promised and ultimately an untimely death to those who chose Egypt over trusting God in the promised land. An untimely death. You might know someone in your Christian life that might have made a profession of faith, might have committed their life to Christ, might have surrendered to the ministry, to the mission field, whatever it might be. And for some odd reason, they kind of went off track. So much so that it was hard to determine whether this person was a believer or not. And whether it was a long journey, prodigal journey, or a short prodigal journey, there are people that God takes home prematurely. We would call an untimely death. They didn't live as long as God wanted them to. Could be because perhaps of their testimony. The remnant that sought temporary refuge in Egypt would be judged. This was not supposed to be a lifelong commitment to Egypt. This was only supposed to be temporary. God promised that very few would manage to escape the judgment of death. God would still allow a few that would trickle back to Judah. Second, I'd like to look at the reaction of God's people in Egypt. What are God's people going to do with what they've heard? Again, this is the last message of Jeremiah. He's the weeping prophet. He has been imprisoned. They've tried to kill him. They've tried to starve him. He's been beaten. He was told not to marry. He has no family. He has no children. All he has is a nation of rebels. What a ministry. They've rejected everything he said. It seems like nothing he has done for 40 years has made any difference or has had any impact whatsoever. So we're going to look at the reaction of God's people in Egypt. First, we'll look at the general reaction, verses 15 and 16. Then, when Jeremiah was done, all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. The men promised to do whatever, Jeremiah delivered this message from God to a large audience in Egypt. This group included men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods. The people knew that Jeremiah spoke to them in the name of the Lord, yet they did not care. They rejected the prophet. They rejected his word. They rejected the God who gave him the word. Verses 17 through 18. The response of the men. But we will certainly do whatever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. What a verse. Isn't that good? How pathetic. To burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. You talk about being honest. Pathetically honest. For then, had we plenty of victuals, and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things. We got nothing. And have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. The men promised to do whatever they wanted to do. They were straightforward and honest. God's word nor God's judgment would get in the way of what they wanted to do and what they wanted to say. Kind of reminds me of a certain group of people I know from certain geographical areas. Now, there are some people, I'll call them Midwesterners, that are more kind to your face. We might even call them Southern. They might be polite, respectful, gracious, until you leave. And then they chew you up. And there are other groups of people that tell you what it is. Right across the plate. This is what I think. I hate you. Get out of my face. I don't like you. So there are different strokes for different folks. These men spoke of the days before the fall of Jerusalem and the exile of Judah. At that time, they worshipped the Babylonian idol called the Queen of Heaven. They did this with various rituals all over Judah and Jerusalem. They did this. Their fathers did this. Their kings and their princes did this. The reference is also probably toward the goddess of war and love. She represented the Queen of Heaven, the female principle of fertility. For the Babylonians, the Queen of Heaven was a maternal deity connected with the moon, the family, and again, fertility. The Roman Catholics give Mary, the mother of Jesus, the same title, the mother of heaven, the queen of heaven, sorry. Contemporary people might call this idol Mother Nature. They might call this idol glamour, etc. These men remembered the days that they had worshipped the Queen of Heaven as the good old days. They claimed that when they stopped worshipping the Queen of Heaven, they lacked everything and were consumed by the sword and by famine. In essence, they blamed their misfortunes on the results of spiritual revival that had cleaned the nation of Judah from these idols and this horrible worship. In other words, the remnant claimed that idolatry had done more for them than the God of Israel, whom Jeremiah had represented. Things were great when we rejected and disobeyed God, until the judgment came that God promised. Isn't it funny how the backslidden mind is always ready to blame God? Verse 19, rare. Now, you might not catch this in first reading or second reading, but this is the response of the women. How did the women respond to Jeremiah's message? And when we, the women, burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? The women admitted they played an important part in the worship of the Babylonian Queen of Heaven, as well as other idols. They tried to make their husbands responsible for their sin. After all, the husbands could have stopped them if they wanted to. In the garden, man blamed his wife for his sin. Here, the women of Judah, now in Egypt, reversed the roles and blamed their husbands for their sin. Their husbands knew they were making crescent cakes, which was stamped with the image of the goddess. A woman's vows were only binding if her husband approved of them. Keep your finger there in Jeremiah 44 and turn with it to Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30. I've never heard a message preached in Numbers chapter 30. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 30. I've got this title, this chapter subtitled, Father and His Daughter, Husband and His Wife. Verse number 3, we'll start there. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, meaning this is a single lady, she's in her father's house, she's not married yet, she hasn't been given, and her father hear her vow. Now, because this is all about vows, it's important to know, what does this refer to? When you make a vow, straight up, simple, that means you make a promise. You make a promise. The Bible clearly says, and I haven't prepared to do this, but the Bible also says that making a vow is like making a covenant. I make a promise, I make a covenant. But there are other passages of Scripture that say, if you curse, you're making a vow. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean cursing God in a negative way. However, when we look at this passage of Scripture, when you bind your soul with an oath, that is a vow. So we have a young woman who makes a vow unto the Lord, binds herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand. If you're a dad and you hear your daughter say something that you know is not good, that you know, again, Old Testament, but it's still the Word of God, and you don't correct your daughter, and you're as a dad, you hear it, you let it go. All her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her, in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. Okay, what does this actually mean? Well, it means what it says. I know it's not contemporary enough, but it means what it says. And obviously there's a lot of implications here. If you don't have a father in the home, you're raised by a single parent. I get all that. But let's understand the principle. You might be immature enough to rattle off with the mouth. Knuckleheads do that. Missed knuckleheads do the same. Right? I've heard some ladies cuss some streaks, boy. And so have you. Verse 6. But if she had at all an husband, so now we're dealing with not a single lady, but a woman who's married. She has a husband. When she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul. And her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, meaning have a conversation and your wife, are you sure you meant that? I mean, that probably wasn't the right thing to say. Maybe we should take that to the Lord and pray about that, to make sure that your female partner here is not under bondage for the rest of her life, so to speak, because you have not stood up and led properly. Then he shall make her vow. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. And every vow of a widow, and of her that is divorced, wherewith she hath bound her souls, shall stand against her. I'm not going to read any further. There are some passages of Scripture that are specifically geared toward ladies. This is one of them. Here's one verse about that that I think is worthy of note. Let's look at the third section of this particular passage of Scripture. We've looked at the word of God to God's people in Egypt, the reaction of God's people in Egypt. Jeremiah answers God's people in Egypt. Verses 20 to 23. Jeremiah tells them why destruction and judgment came. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, yea, and your fathers, your kings, and your princes. So let's not forget your heritage. Let's not forget your lineage. Let's not forget the sins of your fathers. Not only that, look at the sins of the leadership, your kings and your princes, as well as the people in general. Did not the Lord remember them? And came it not into his mind? Have you forgotten what the judgment of God is for? You were a nation set apart to be an example to the world. But all you did was imitate. And all you did was copy. So that the Lord could no longer bear, because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which ye have committed. I don't think the word abomination is the same as the word sin. Do you? I mean, it's not spelled the same. Like, it's kind of like sin on steroids. It's like, this is so bad. This is so vile. This is so horrible. Therefore, is your land... Now you have to realize this. We saw this morning when the people of God called the Lord Jeremiah's God. Now look what God says about this land. Whose land is this now? Their land. You see, before it was God's land. And they treated it as such. They thought of it as such. They respected it as such. Not so now. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day, because ye have burned incense and because ye have sinned against the Lord. In the Old Testament, incense is a picture of, does anybody know? Prayer. Incense is a picture of prayer. So when they're burning incense, they're symbolically praying to false deities, to false gods. They're burning it, they're praying, they're worshiping these false idols. And because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore, this evil has happened unto you as at this day. They had left God out of their thinking. They thought that ignoring God would make things better. God saw and remembered their sins and their idolatry. They took God's patience to mean that he didn't care. He cared. And his compassion brought judgment upon them, like we find in Hebrews chapter number 12. A natural father will discipline his son. God will discipline his people. Had they obeyed God's covenantal conditions, judgment would not have come. Verses 24 to 29, Jeremiah tells them of the adversity and judgment to come. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women. When was the last time you heard that? I mean, how many times have you read the Bible? Is that a normal phrase? No. You don't normally hear women being addressed as such so directly in God's word. It's assumed, yes. It's implied everywhere. But here it's specifically written out. Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Here he is again, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives. Have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, probably the reason why I chose this passage of Scripture is because of this section. They had heard the word of God, but they hadn't heard the word of God. They were exposed to the word of God, but they didn't pay attention to it. The word of God had been preached to them, but it made no difference. Hello? Hello? Is there anybody home? The thing I like the most as a Christian is to sit where you're sitting. I love being preached at. I do. I miss it terrible. I don't get a chance to be preached at. God preaches at me through his word. But I love sitting there because I had spent so much of my life living my life my way. I didn't know there was an alternative lifestyle. One that would honor God and please the Lord and help my fellow men and women. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord. All Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. You want to know why? Because where was the rest of Judah? They were in Babylon. The remnant that God said, I want you to stay. I want you to hang out here in Jerusalem and Judea. We're going to Egypt. Remember the garlics and the leeks. We're talking almost 900 years later. They're thinking about Egypt. Oh man, how things were good there. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Woe. Behold, I will watch over them for evil. God is going to watch over his people, not for good, but for evil. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed. That sounds to me like the wandering in the wilderness, doesn't it? That all those that had unbelief would be consumed. That's exactly what it says here. By the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. Defectors and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand. Can I pause there just for a moment? Mine or theirs? I just have... You can't plan this. You can't orchestrate a passage like this on November 8th, 2020. Pastor, you're really reading into this more than there is. This has nothing to do with our elections. Whose words shall stand, mine or theirs? Now, I know God is speaking. I get that. But God represents truth. Doesn't he? God represents integrity. And God says, there will be a contest. There will be a conflict. There will be opinions and options and choices. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the God of the Egyptians or the God of Israel. In context, that's what it's talking about. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. You think you're so pompous? You think... Who do you think you are? Have you forgotten what your family has told you for the last 120 years? That all of your cousins have been captured and went into exile in Assyria and they're scattered all over the known world? That's them. I get to choose my own. Okay, fine. How about the three captivities that have already taken place before now? Like the last 25 years. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians have come down. Wave number two, one. Wave number two. Wave number three. You guys are so pathetic, you don't even get to go to Babylon. That's how pathetic you are. God wants you to stay here. Doesn't he think we're good enough? Yeah, you're good enough to stay here. Well, we're not going to stay here. We're going to Egypt. Oh, I don't know if I do that. I don't know if I do that. Once again, God speaks to the people with these titles of power, authority, and ownership. Chronologically speaking, this was Jeremiah's last stand. This was his last message. He saw his nation decline to a point of near extinction. Jeremiah quotes the people's promise to continue worshiping the Queen of Heaven and other idols. It was a declaration that God heard clearly. Jeremiah acknowledges the remnant's desire to fulfill their godless vows. God solemnly declared that he rejected those who rejected him. He would not let them speak his name. In rejecting God, they would still have God overseeing their lives, but his oversight would be judgment as opposed to mercy. Only a small remnant would escape to return back to Jerusalem. Verse 30. Jeremiah tells them of the judgment to come upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies. And you can look that up historically and find out that's exactly what happened. And into the hand of them that seek his life. So because Egypt was in competition with Babylon to see who was the mightiest nation on earth, there were people out there looking to take down the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the leaders of both countries. And then it says, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. The last chronological chapters of Jeremiah has this king by the name of Zedekiah. He's one of the wickedest kings that Judah ever had. He's the last king that ruled Judah, and he was taken into captivity. And of course, all of these people from Judah would know this reference to Zedekiah. God was basically saying, as I did to your king, so I will do to the king of Egypt. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 43. I just want to read a couple verses there. Jeremiah 43, starting in verse 10. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt. And he, Nebuchadnezzar, shall burn them, the gods of Egypt, and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putting on his garment. And he shall go forth from thence in peace. He, Nebuchadnezzar, shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he, Nebuchadnezzar, burn with fire. God's word to God's people. It was delivered, unfortunately, it was rejected. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read that verse again, and we'll pray. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Lord, we come before you to thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of this particular prophet, Jeremiah. Difficult to understand because we're so far removed from that time period, the culture, historically, everything that was taking place. But Lord, there are principles here that certainly are relevant to today. Lord, how we pray that God's people would be receptive to God's word. how we pray that you would locate the idols in our hearts, the idols in our homes, the idols that get in the way of our personal relationship with you. Lord, you're a jealous God. You want our undivided attention. You want our undivided devotion. And anything that gets in the way is trouble for us. Lord, we need the cleansing power of the Word of God by the Spirit of God. We need to be reminded constantly because we're so forgetful. We need to experience the victory over sin and temptation. God, prepare us, I pray, for this week. Help us to recommit our lives to Thee. As we look for Your coming, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.